Okay. My name is Leroy Jones, and I'm a New Orleans jazz trumpeter.
And you're, of course, gracing the cover of the August issue of Offbeat Magazine. By the time people hear this interview, Satchmo Fest will have come and gone, but right now we're talking, it's Friday before the fest, and you're going to be out there on Sunday afternoon, right?
That's right. I'm playing at Satchmo Fest on Sunday from 5 p.m. to 6:15 p.m. on the Red Beans and Ricely Yours stage.
You've spoken a lot about the influence that Louis Armstrong's playing has had on your music ever since you were a child. Can you talk to me a bit about his importance for you?
Well, Louis Armstrong was my first and foremost mentor, even before I began to take trumpet lessons and play in the band at the school I attended, elementary school. St. Leo the Great is the school that I began to play music. And I knew who Louis Armstrong was even before that time, because my parents, although they were not musicians, they were great lovers of music, and in particular jazz. So there were records, LPs, 78s, and 45s around the house where I had an opportunity to listen to those recordings. And there were a few albums of Louis Armstrong's available, and it caught my ear right away when I heard him play.
Do you remember what the first recordings of his were that you listened to?
Well, those recordings, there was a recording of Wild Man Blues. Also, there was I can't remember exactly the title of the record, but there were also some selections with Louis Armstrong and the King Oliver Band. And another record was the Hot Five, Hot Seven recordings that were some of the first recordings I heard of Louis. And I think I was even more impressed at that age. I would have been about 10 years old with Louis Armstrong's solo on Ain't Misbehavin' that he did later in the years. And I think it was from the 1950s with his All-Star Band. And I just remember trying to learn how to play that solo. Actually, I think by the time I was 13 or 14, I was able to somewhat get through it. I felt pretty good about it.
And he was still around when you were a boy. Did you ever get a chance to see him?
Well, Louis died, I think it was July 6th, 1971, so I was 13 years old. I never had the opportunity to hear him live. Of course, I'd seen him on television and heard him on recorded material. I did have an opportunity to meet and perform before his widow, Lucille. There was a place called Milne Boys Home in an area of the city of New Orleans called Millenburg, and which is actually in the area that I used to live in Gentilly. It's in the Gentilly area. And this establishment apparently was the follow-up of the Colored Waves home where Louis was when he learned how to play when he was in trouble for shooting a pistol on New Year's Eve or New Year's night. And in 1972, in July, around that time, they were commemorating Louis and giving an honor to him, but through his widow, Lucille. He had passed the previous year. And I was, at that time, I was playing with and leading the Fairview Baptist Church Christian Marching Band, or the Fairview Brass Band. And we, through Danny Barker, we got to play for that little ceremony. And we had the fortune of meeting Lucille, and as they presented this honor for her late husband.
And what did she think of that?
Oh, she was thrilled. She was smiling. She had this, from what I remember, she had the same charismatic charm that Louis Armstrong had. And she was a very attractive and very, very warm spirit. I recall.
And you've been at just about every Satchmo Fest since it started up, right?
I've been at every Satchmo Fest since its first festival. Only time I've missed the festival, maybe a couple of years I missed it because I was out of town during this time in August. So I guess you could say I've been at all of the Sashmo Fest.
How does it compare to other similar events that you've played at around town?
I watched it get bigger and bigger. I think by it being a free festival open to the public, quite naturally there are going to be people coming from all walks of life in all areas of the city, people who don't normally come out, local people, don't normally come out to the French Quarter because they think it's too touristy and they don't want to feel like tourists. I think the Sashmo Fest, as well as the French Quarter Fest, attracts a nice crowd, a nice mix of people, and especially getting the local folks to come out and support their own cultural heritage, I think is a great thing. And it's getting bigger each year. I'm seeing larger crowds. There are more stages, many more stages than there were in the beginning. And I think that more sponsors are coming up to the plate to help support the festival. And the musicians, I think it's a time when the musicians are excited because they get to perform and meet their colleagues, and also even some groups are coming into town each year from faraway places like Japan. There's a good friend of mine who is a great admirer of Louis Armstrong and also a great trumpeter in his own right, Yoshio Toyama. We used to call him Kid Claiborne. I remember when he was living in New Orleans back in the he was living here from the late 60s into the 70s and actually to the mid to late 70s, and which is during that time I began to work some gigs in the French Quarter. And if memory serves me correctly, he was renting an apartment right on St. Peter Street between Bourbon and Dauphine. And it was a building, I think, that was owned by the Jaffes, by Alan Jaffe. And he also, that same building, I think, was occupied by Kid Chic Cola, an old trumpeter that I had the opportunity to listen to during that time. So it's exciting to be a part of the event and to meet the folks that you don't see for a year. They come back, even out of town jazz lovers who come and are willing to brave the heat and come to Sashmo Fest.
Yeah. You're known, among other things, for starting up the Hurricane Brass Band back in the 1970s. Does that group ever get together to play anymore? I mean, I know not all the members are around anymore.
Yeah, now we are known as the original Hurricane Brass Band because there's a brass band in the Netherlands called the Hurricane Brass Band. Well, they took the name years after the original Hurricane Brass Band was formed in 1974. And so they're called the Hurricane Brass Band, but we're the original Hurricane Brass Band.
Have you guys met your Dutch counterparts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Those guys, actually we've become pretty good friends. One year, when they were in town, they've been here to New Orleans, and Petra Dalvis is her name. She's a bass drum player, and just like Katia actually plays bass drum these days with the Hurricane Brass Band, she needed to borrow our bass drum. So it was a fair trade because the name is the same, so they didn't have to change the logo. But so we let them use the drum for some gigs that they had when they were in town to play here. And, of course, I've met with them on several occasions when I've been over in the Netherlands to perform.
Okay, so there's no hard feelings there?
No. No hard feelings.
Did they know about you guys when they named their band?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, they did. And they actually named their band after the original band before I reestablished the band again as the original Hurricane Brass Band, because I hadn't really been involved with doing any brass band gigs consistently since like 1982, 81. You know, after 81, I wasn't, when the Rebirth brass band sort of emerged on the scene in the early 80s, I was doing more of what I do now, which is playing in a small ensemble setting, a set band, as we call it, with drums, bass, piano, or guitar, you know, and acoustic bass, and playing more standards and the things that I've been recording in these days.
Yeah. So we're sitting here together in your house on Ursuline Street. How's the summer in the Treme treating you here?
Well, long as the air conditioner is working, the summer is fine in Treme.
Yeah, of course.
It's good. It's been good. It's amazing how we were gone for 1 month, actually. Got back 2 weeks ago, but everything has really grown. The vegetation, you know, we've got a lime tree up front and a few plants, other plants, and in the back. It's just so amazing to see how quickly things can grow in this climate, especially during the summer. So I had a lot of gardening and yard work to do when we got back.
So this weekend, of course, is all about Louis Armstrong. I know you've got your trumpet out on the table here in front of us. Do you think you might be able to favor us with a little bit of his music?
Yeah, sure. I'll do something, get my chops warmed up a little bit.
And, excellent.
There's one piece that's really dear to my heart and that Louis does so well, and hopefully I can continue to do it and make him proud, is his signature number, his theme song, When It's Sleepy Time Down South.